Somebody said
I want to be muted.
You can mute yourself by pressing star 6.
Okay.
So I welcome all those who have joined us over the internet radio, BBS. It's 10 o'clock, and we're still waiting for three to show up. And we have somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Morning. This is Jackie in San Diego.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Morning. How are you doing?
Great. Hi, Francis from Concord, California.
Hi, Francis. Thank you for being here.
Janice from Nevada.
Janice, how are you doing?
Great. And you?
I've been thinking about you. Thanks for being here.
Aww.
And more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi there. Hi, this is Jan from Ontario.
Hello, Jan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
You're fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn. How you doing, babe?
I'm good. How are you?
What's up with Dave?
Is he not on? Oh, he had his grandson. He was going to take him to, I don't know, someplace this morning.
I welcome those who just joined in. Please say your name and location.
Hi, morning.
Hey, I hear Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Michael?
Well,
Chris
in
Memphis.
Chris. Hey, Chris. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good, man.
All right.
Morning, everybody. Zoe, Sacramento.
Hi, Zoe. How you doing?
Hi, Zoe.
Hi,
Francis. Well,
better now.
Hi, Francis.
Here. Did I miss anyone? Speak up and say your name. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good morning. Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean. How are you doing, Jean?
I'm great. Hi, thanks.
Bye.
Hi.
Hi, Sam.
Sam Cat.
Yeah, hi, Sam.
This is Music to BBS Radio. This is Daphne playing her instrument. Now I can barely hear her, Jack. If you can pull up a little bit, just a little bit. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Don from South Florida.
Hey, Don. Timberlake?
What's that?
Timberlake?
No, Pembroke Pines.
Timber Pines. Sure. All right, all right. I was in the area.
Okay. Timberlake. I don't recognize that. South Florida?
No. I recognized your name and I connected it with Timber.
Oh, okay. Good enough. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here. More people joined in. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wynn.
I'm not here yet.
I know.
Good thing Heiss is. Tell you, Heiss,
Wynn, I'm outside your door right now.
And your dedication is terrific. It really is. I don't think you get enough acknowledgement for that.
You're here.
It's a pleasure to be doing what I'm doing, so I am.
You do it very well.
I agree, I agree.
All right. We had more people join in. Talk to the call, please say your name and location. If you want to do so, we live in a free world. You may stay silent in the background. Greatly appreciate your patience.
Dwayne.
And welcome to the next quarter. Oh, please say your name and location. Of things, no names. Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Teresa, Wisconsin.
Hey, Teresa, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, Marilyn.
Ha, 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 ha.
Hi, Sue was giving you all those compliments.
You did hear it. Good.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, my name is Carolyn. I'm calling from Kampala, Uganda.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hello, Carolyn. Thanks.
Hi, Joey.
Carolyn, how's the weather in Uganda?
Oh, it's beautiful here. This is called the Pearl of Africa.
Uh-huh. All right.
So what's your temperature?
It was about 82 today, or 83. It's a little bit after 9 o'clock p.m.
Oh, okay.
Carolyn.
Is it humid or dry? Yeah, Carol? And I don't receive any more emails from the Spirit Channel or anybody from Wintry. So I don't know if it's just me or that I'm over here now or what.
I don't know, Alan.
Sometimes this happens, and I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
I usually tell people, open up a new account on your...
Wynn, let me mute the line here. I muted the line so we can hear you, Wynn.
Open up a new account, a new email account, and re-sign up, because... We've tried to figure it out, and you know, this whole email sending is a big complex thing, which I just subscribe to a service, and you know, it's hard to get when there's a glitch. It's hard to figure out why something is happening. Sometimes I check and the person's on the list and they should be getting emails, but they're not. So you just go to Intelligent Infinity and sign up. And if you need the application for the Spirit Channel, then email me and I'll send it to you, okay?
I'm muted right now, Wynn. You want me to open the lines?
Oh, everyone's muted?
Yeah, because we couldn't hear you.
Okay. Is Terry there?
Yes, and it's intelligent-infinity.com.
Yeah, that's the sign-up. And if you're not getting emails, just sign up again in another email. Easiest way to fix it. And is Daphne there? Daphne's not there, is she?
No, she's not.
She sent me an email, said she was up all night watching movies. All right. Well, here we go. Another Sunday. And Heiss is thinking, Wynn, hurry up and turn the recorder on. Did you think that just at that moment, Heiss?
That is right, yes.
just double checking, you know. All right. And, of course, another Sunday where we have no idea what we're going to talk about. Terry, do you have any idea what our topic is today? I know.
No. How to unmute the phone.
How to unmute the phone. Okay. Let me just see here a moment. Let me get our healing list today. You know,
Let me start the recorder, man, all right?
All right, I'm not up on the, that would be good. Start the recorder, okay?
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody. It's 11:09 a.m. Arizona time, 10:09 California time, on February 24th, and we are making headway into 2013. Yay! And things are running somewhat smoothly. You know, just as a little, Terry, are you munching on the microphone again?
I don't know.
Which
I'll be real still.
Which microphone are you? What phone are you on?
I'm on my cell phone, talking directly into it.
Are you? Okay. You didn't want to use the UMA line, huh?
I called on the UMA line, and it said that I was calling from a phone that had an abnormally high rate to call that number.
And I see. So they wouldn't let you through? They were blocking it?
Well,
usually they say something like that, and if you wait, they just say, now we're going to put your call through.
Usually, oh, really?
Yeah. You just have to stay on the line until it goes through. But that's okay. Your cell's good. Just it's sensitive to, you know, since you're holding it, every sound you make works, you know, comes across. Well, you know, I started out talking about topics, and I discovered this very interesting principle that I said, if I was a model of the universe, which I think I am, and so are you, and we're all microcosms of the greater universe. And what does that mean? It means that it's all, of course, we hear this over and over again, it's all one, it's all one, it's all one. But if it's all one, then the total universe could be called the macrocosm, and that you're a microcosm, and then your cells are microcosms, and, you know, right down to the atom. And it would be as if it was all a big mirror, that the whole universe was mirroring right down to you in the most fundamental way. And that if you learn to access this, which is the big challenge, accessing it, even if it's true, you still have to access it to make it real. And to access it, you need to see some kind of, you need to have some kind of affirmation that you're actually making that access. And what would be a confirmation that you're making the access inside yourself to the greater universe? Well, it could be a synchronicity. It could be you think of someone and you suddenly feel their presence and they call you. I've had that many times. Some of you may relate to that experience, that you think of somebody and they call you just at that moment. And it's almost as if you feel their presence and boom, the phone rings. Well, that's an indication that you are tapping in from your microcosm to the macrocosm. Now, there's small little things. It's just like, okay, somebody could call it psychic. But what do you think psychic is? Psychic is exactly what I'm talking about. For example, if you become one with somebody, if your consciousness merges or melds with somebody else, then I'm going to mute you, Terry. So you'll have to unmute because there's little background clicks, okay?
I'm muted. See if they continue.
Well, if you're muted, it won't continue. Okay. So what is psychicness? Psychicness just means that your energy became one with someone else's energy, and suddenly you can feel how they feel. And then you tell them, here's what's going on. And if you're deep, you'll feel their track. You'll feel lots of things about them. And if they're interested, you can play it back for them. And they'll think, oh, wow, you're psychic. And you're not psychic. Well, I mean, that's just the common word for it. But psychic just means that you are becoming one with another, and then you feed back to them what you're hearing, and they think you're reading their mind. That's how it looks on the surface. When we do these calls, I feel that I'm connecting and feeling all of you on the line. And I'm not aware of it. It just happens automatically. And if I'm talking, oftentimes I'll say something. I get emails that was just specifically what someone is going through. And, you know, I'm not looking at you. I'm not violating your privacy. It's just that I'm here and I open up to the energies, and suddenly whatever comes through, comes through. And I would say when our sources are talking, they're doing the same thing. They're becoming one with all of us, and they probably have way more lasering ability, and they feel the energies of us, and they can talk back to us and give us really wise counsel. So it's always a exercise in how do you go from where you are to having that experience. And well, first of all, do you want that experience? Do you want to feel things at that depth? You have to be ready to feel things, because if you're not ready, you'll feel things from other people that you can't handle. And when you feel things from other people, where it ends up being where it's hard to handle is where someone is going through an issue that you just went through or even in the middle of going through, and so they provoke your issue. And on this all happens automatically and unconsciously, and if it's an issue that you're trying to get rid of or overcome or transcend, suddenly you will be very critical of them, because you'll judge them for their issue, which is really your issue. Now, sometimes they have the issue greatly magnified, and you have it, you know, not, you know, it's not quite on the forefront, but nonetheless, it's there. And it may be something that you have greatly transcended. You spent lots of time, years, months, going through something, and you're almost over it. And then somebody comes in front of you, and you feel their issue, and their issue was the issue that you've just about gotten over, and suddenly your issue gets very big again. And but you don't realize this, because you look at them and you just judge them for their issue, because you think it's your it was your issue, but you don't know it. Okay? Now, these are all things you can observe really, really carefully, because the more carefully you observe them, the more honest you are, the more you will understand the process, and the more easy it is to let go of the judgments of those people. And, you know, one of the things about judgments is the difference between judgments and discernment. Discernment, it's okay to observe somebody else's failings. I mean, we all have failings, and it's like we can see each other, and oftentimes other people see your failings better than you do, because you're inside them. And when we see somebody else's failings, it's just observation. And when you use discernment, then you have to decide, can you be around that person and not get immersed in their weaknesses? Do you end up getting caught in their weaknesses, which are probably, on some extent, your weaknesses, but not always? Some people just impose their weaknesses on other people. They attempt to control the energy in the space all the time, and you feel trapped around them. And when you notice that feeling of being trapped, that it doesn't give you the permission to judge them. It just means that maybe it's time to leave the room. Maybe it's time to leave that person behind in your life if there's no way through it. But that's different than judging them. That's just saying it doesn't work for you. Judgment is when you make somebody bad or wrong for their weakness or for their evil, even. If we want to use the word evil, and maybe I don't like the word evil, so their service to self, their controlling aspects, their selfishness, their anger, their abusiveness, those are all qualities which are not very pleasant to be around. And those are qualities which tempt you to judge the other person. And it's your job, if you notice yourself going into that judgment, to redirect yourself. Redirect. And one of the things is just to say, uh-oh, there's me judging. I'm not going to judge, but I will walk out of the room because I'm feeling controlled and abused in that person's presence. In that case, you keep yourself immune from picking up anything. When you judge somebody, you start accruing karma. You start internalizing it. You make them wrong. And judgment and discernment are very different things. And it's important if you're on a spiritual path, if you are into an upward motion, which so many of you are, of spirit and connection and opening up to the energies of the universe, judgments stand right in the middle of that. So it's a matter of careful observation. Now, this all started out because I said, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And one of the things that I realized for myself, if you take the whole universe to be existing at simultaneously, past and present, and there's no such thing as time, it's just one moving energy form that keeps changing, and we are part of that moving energy, and we are in a constant state of change if we're in the flow. And that our past lives are in that flow. The beginning of the universe is in that flow. It all exists as one huge flow that's constantly transmuting, and each little tiny part of it, which is you and I, of course, and many other billions and trillions of beings, by their individual thoughts, actions, motivations, are changing the flow of the entire universe, okay? And we are placing ourselves in that flow. So every time you have a thought, every time you think of something, every time you express loving energy, every time you express separation, you are impacting the flow of the universe. And that's the macrocosm. On the microcosm, you are impacting yourself, your cells, the people around you, your community, your city, our planet, etc. Everything reflects everything. And you're a tiny mirror at the bottom of it. And as you change and you start reaching your energies differently, then you are changing the universe to a small degree or a large degree. Or we have a number of people on this call and a number of people listening, and we are creating, we're all creating this. I'm not creating it. I'm facilitating it. I would see myself like a conductor of an orchestra. And if there's no orchestra, there's no music. You guys are the orchestra. And we are dealing with the moving of energies in the orchestra, and that all of us together make a beautiful melody that reaches out into the greater universe and is heard. And we're all stronger as an orchestra than we are by ourselves, all of us. And we need each other to make the music. And we're learning how to do it. Many of you are right in the experience of it. You can feel the energies. You can feel, as I said, that. Now, what's interesting is, with an orchestra, we have instruments, and all the instruments have different sounds, and we can hear the vibration of the different instruments. In the orchestra we're creating, there's no instruments. There's no sound, but there's energy. And as our energies start to affiliate and as they start to radiate, suddenly there's this beautiful energy that we all share in. We all come together from our separate places. We create this beautiful energy, and then we stand in that energy or sit in that energy, and we feel it changing us, lifting us on a cellular level. So this energy is not the sound, it's vibration. And the vibration is taking all of our energies together and creating a way bigger melody than we can create individually, and then standing in the middle of that and letting it heal us. And what is healing us? It means that as we stand in that energy of our creation, then we start impacting ourselves on the most microcosmic of levels, on a cellular level, on a DNA level. How does that work? Well, you know, this is my hypothesis. I've read this. I think we've asked questions about it. And I think this is accurate. And I've said it before, but it's certainly appropriate to say it again now, because oftentimes these concepts are such that you have to hear them a number of times before it registers. So the reiteration of these concepts, it's not about mental understanding. It's about having an aha experience. So you connect the dots together on an aha level, or on a resonance level, or on an intuitive level. So what we're doing is we're creating these energies, huge energies, radiating out, I don't say radiating out, participating in the energies of the entire universe. And then we have the Elohim group and the Ra group saying they're participating, and they're joining with this energy of creation. And then we feed it back to ourselves, and we feel it. At the same time, we're part of the creation of it. And as we feel it, it's a bigger energy than we normally stand in. It's a bigger mirroring of than we normally experience. By mirroring, we're always mirroring. We get up in the morning, we see our husband, our wife, our children, we go to work. Everything we walk through, to a certain degree or another, we're mirroring the energy of it, and it's we're becoming who we are based on the energies we mirror. And so we're all trapped, compressed, contracted in those mirroring processes. And when you start opening up to the energies of the universe, you suddenly go above all of that, and now you're mirroring something huge, 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 and in fact, you keep going and you get back to the source beyond all the mirrors, and now you're getting it. And how does this works is the smallest part of ourselves is our DNA. Well, probably atoms are smaller, but I don't understand it except up to the DNA level. And your DNA is your blueprint. You came in with your DNA. Your DNA is a microcosm for the universe. And as you change your connection to the greater universe, as we're doing right now, that is new energy moving through your body. And that new energy that's moving through your body is going right into your DNA. And the DNA happens to be the way we were created, that is the ultimate response mechanism to the greater universe. So your DNA starts to change. Your DNA starts to open strings. Now, in one thing I read, where did I read this? I think it was in Earth, that book Earth by Barbara Marciniak from the Pleiadians, and I've quoted this occasionally on our calls because I was reading things in that book that so precisely matched things that I was learning in the Elohim, the Ra stuff, and everything else. And she was saying, or the Pleiadians were saying, that our DNA strings, we have 12 strands of DNA, and in normal Western, I won't say medicine, but Western science, we have junk DNA. And they would say that seven of those strands, nine of the strands of the 12 are junk DNA. They don't know the purpose of them. Now, according to this book, and see how beautifully this fits in to this picture. According to the book, it's called Earth by Barbara Marciniak, our first seven strands of DNA relate to our first seven chakras. Now, we talk about chakras all the time. We go through them when I do my meditation. And the chakras are energy centers in the body that go all the way from the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine, the sex chakra, the creative chakra, the power chakra, the heart chakra, the wisdom communication chakra, the psychic chakra, which is your third eye, and the crown chakra, which is at the top of your head, which is called the gateway to intelligent infinity. So that's seven chakras. Now, she was saying that each strand of the first seven strands relate to the first seven chakras, and that the way you activate a strand of DNA is to be in the energy field of that chakra. So, in other words, if you are in a very loving space, if you're in a very loving relationship, if you go to some spiritual service, or even if you have certain kinds of music and people playing music, environments, and you can, you know, there's many places where this occurs, there's the energy of the heart present in that environment. And when you're in that environment, as long as you can open to the energies, those energies are going to flow through your heart chakra and then activate the DNA strand of the heart, the fourth DNA strand. And so, now, when I ask questions about this, the strand doesn't stay open. It needs constant activation, or not constant, but ongoing activation, at least a certain percentage of the time. And after a while, it stays open. So your DNA strands are programmed to respond to energy fields that correspond to the energy of that strand. And so this goes through all seven, everything from the second chakra, which is the sexual chakra, to the crown chakra, which is the top of the head. And that when you're in the space where those energies are present, you start to activate that chakra. Now, it's not always equal. In fact, it's almost never equal. For example, some people, if somebody activates their crown chakra and they don't have any of their other chakras activated, they are going to be one big space case because they're not going to be grounded. And if you activate your lower chakras, you'll be grounded, but you won't have any flow of energy with other beings. So the goal, if we could, the optimum goal would be to have all your chakras activated. You'd be a totally balanced person. And that's almost impossible for most people. And, you know, when we've asked questions about ascension meaning leaving this realm with your body and ending up somewhere else, the answer to that was this could happen. And in order for it to happen for someone, they needed all their chakras activated, at least slightly more than half. Not perfectly, but at least more than half. But for to graduate this realm, you don't need to leave it with your body. You can die and your astral body can move to the next level. And for your astral body to graduate or to ascend, you only need your heart chakra open slightly more than half. So there's a lot of tools in this talk here about things you need to do to apply yourself. And one thing is figure out how to stay in the fields of energy where you can experience these energies so that you can internalize them and make them, own them for yourself. It would be in other times, and probably this time as well, people would have gurus. And within the relationship of a guru, if you have a good guru, you have someone who's holding their activations in their chakras higher than yourself, in their, say, their fourth chakra, their heart chakra. And that by being around that person, and affiliating with them, you're going to activate your heart chakra. And after a while, you don't need to be around them anymore. You've internalized it. You learned to hold it. And now you're going to be a guru for other people using the guru model. And you'll help other people open up their energies because you've learned how to open up your energy. If you take a look at Jesus, I believe that was really the essence of Christianity, where there was this small group of people that could hold their heart chakras open, and they could radiate them, and other people would get it. And if everything was a best-case scenario, the world would evolve because everyone loves to be around an open heart. It's uplifting. The problem is that the negative will always jump in and try to use this and to control it. And instead of having a free giving sharing of energy, they will turn themselves into the elite and say, you need us to get this energy. And then the energy roll stops. So you can see how beautiful this picture is, where there's such opportunity for each of us. And all we need to do is be in the places where the energy is flowing till we learn how to hold the energy and can hold that for other people, and they will grow around that. And of course, there's free will, so there's no force. And if somebody doesn't want to grow, doesn't want to open up on these levels, then it's not your job to convince them that they should, even if it's your children or someone that you love, because they must have their free will to do it. But sooner or later in their evolutionary path, they will have more opportunities, and it's not for you to take the responsibility for their spiritual growth. In fact, you can't do that. It's impossible. They are a sovereign, unique being. The most you can do is set an example. And if you set an example and they feel the energies, they'll gravitate towards it. They'll lift up on the energies even if they don't understand what's going on. But if you move into worrying about them, it's not going to work. In fact, it's counterproductive, because oftentimes when you worry about somebody, they use your worry as a way of manipulating and controlling you, which isn't good for you. Also, you're attaching your own evolution to their evolution, which means not only may you not help them, you may shoot yourself in the foot and not graduate this realm because you pinned yourself to someone else's evolution. And that's not a good thing to do. And yet we do it all the time. We do it in the name of love. We do it in the name of care. And you can still love and care and learn how to do it in a more detached way, so you don't pin your evolution to someone else, unless you want to, of course. If you want to, that's your free will choice. It just means that you may not graduate this realm because they're not going to graduate. So the goal is to inspire them. The goal is to learn to radiate these higher energies into the space that you're in. The goal is to watch who reaches back. The goal is to leave clues so people ask you questions, but don't tell them anything. You can't tell about it. What I've learned from the time I started this work, because I didn't understand this when I started, but I've learned that the aspect of reaching back is critical. Like, I'm here, I'm sitting in my center, I am holding the space of connection. Many of you are co-creating that space and helping it, joining with it. Some of you are on the periphery, they're watching and they're saying, what's going on here? I don't understand this. And they're fascinated and they're going to reach back. They're going to go study some of our materials. They're going to keep looking at it until it either resonates or they decide it's not for them. But there's no enforcing of anything on anybody. Now, at one point in my life, I would have not been willing or able to be this vulnerable in front of a group of people that you're really not strangers, but in the worldly sense, you would be defined as strangers. You know, we've never met. I don't know that it's safe. I don't know that you're not judging me. What do I want to take a risk for and put myself out there? And then the next day, I have a bunch of people talking about me, creating judgments about me, and I wouldn't have done it. And it took me a lot of experimentation and development of confidence in how it all worked to know that if I stayed in my center and if I held a loving space, that other people would reach back and connect with that. And they would learn how to do that themselves just because I was doing it. Not because I was trying to teach them anything. It's just by example. And I learn by example. I've learned from Terry. I've learned from Daphne. Terry is an incredibly loving person. And it's like she has demonstrated that love and care for all the time I've known her. And I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be alive now if it wasn't for Terry. So it's like I see, and she never asked anything back. She was just there. Can you be that way with other people? Can you be there for them in that unconditional way? At the same time, it's the reaching back that creates the, how can I say it? You don't want to throw your pearls before swine. You don't want to be a doormat and let people take advantage of you. The key word for this is gratitude. If someone has gratitude for you or you for them, gratitude is a divine quality. It's not a human quality. Appreciation is a human quality. But gratitude is beyond that. Why is it beyond that? Because it's spontaneous. You can't help but feel it. It's an opening of the heart that rushes out and touches another person. It's not even thinking about whether there's love or not. It's just a given. It's there. But gratitude is something that gets developed. So when you're involved in thinking you're giving to someone, look for that quality. And if you can't find it, then look carefully at the giving and see if you want to continue it. Now, there's a certain amount of risk that we all take all the time. And it's okay to take risks. Risks means, well, I'll give a little bit today, and then next week I'll give a little bit. And then you have to see if after a while, gratitude may not be there the first time. It might take 10 times before there's gratitude. But if there's never any gratitude, then you're probably wasting your life energy on giving to someone who is just taking and not reciprocating with gratitude. And again, you can't talk about it to someone. You can't tell them where's your gratitude, because it's a spontaneous quality. You know, appreciation is like, hey, why didn't you say thank you? I gave that to you. Okay, thank you. That's not gratitude. That's in the conscious mind. It's appreciation, and it's far lower level of interaction than is gratitude. And usually, oftentimes, when I was growing up in Philadelphia, gratitude, I think genuine gratitude, was fairly distant from my family. Maybe not from my mother or my sister, but certainly from my father. And to him, it was all favors. And I say this with love. If he's listening, you know, I love you, Dad. But it was all exchange of favors. If I do this for someone, they owe me a favor. And that was like karma. It's like, how do I hook people? How do I make them want to give back to me? And not saying that that's totally wrong. It's not. Because you can't get by in this world with some level of obligation. You have to have obligation. And you have your rent to pay. You have your bills to pay. You have your insurance to pay. You have your children to bring up. And, you know, with obligation, gratitude can be added to it. It doesn't mean obligation totally defers gratitude. For example, when you have your rent and you're paying your rent and your landlord did, let's say you mowed the lawn and planted flowers, when you send in your rent check, you put in a genuine little note that says, "Dear landlord, you have made our building so much better because of the new flowers you planted. Thank you so much for doing that," and sign your name to it. And you see, you did something above and beyond the call of duty. You sent the rent, but you sent him a really loving note, and that carried the gratitude. And there is a huge amount of power in that. Huge, beyond what you'd believe. My friend Jillian, who I've known for years, was living in a house that she couldn't get her mortgage refinanced, and the payments were too big. And for about 4 years, this was her constant preoccupation, because she had a fixed income and she kept wearing down her fixed income to pay the mortgage that wouldn't get refinanced. And apparently it wouldn't get refinanced because she didn't have enough money coming in to justify it. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? They give her a large payment because they won't refinance it because they can't do it. Well, she was going around for quite some time spending thousands of dollars on lawyers, on different experts to try to get her payments down, and no one was helping her. Finally, this story is worth hearing to the end. This is a beautiful example of what I'm talking about, of how gratitude can change everything. Finally, there was some free state agency, this is in California, and she started seeing the woman from this agency. I think it was HUD or something like that. And she was seeing her for months. And this was not a situation where she was paying. This was a service that the state was providing her. And the woman finally shrugged her shoulders and said, "I'm sorry, there's no way that we can work this. There's no way we can get your payments reduced. So my friend sent this woman a card. It was her cards are beautiful. She puts little angels on them and stardust. And she sent her a card and said, "Thank you so much for trying so hard." And sending the card was a little bit extra. The woman was doing her job, and my Jillian was trying to just be a good client doing her side, and nothing was happening, and it was over. And how many times when something is over like that do you walk away? You never send a card. You never think about it. You move on. You say, "Well, I got to think of another solution." Well, my friend sent this beautiful card, and the woman's boss walked by her desk, picked up the card, and said, "Where did this come from?" And the woman said, "I was trying very hard to help this woman, and I couldn't help her, and so she sent me a thank you." And the boss said, "Let me see what I can do." And the next day, there was a solution for my friend. So that's the power of gratitude. It's like, how many opportunities do we have every day to do those little extra things? And it wasn't a big deal. It was the cost of a stamp and a nice card. And we don't do them. How many times do we have to call someone up and say, "Thank you, I really appreciated that"? This is the way you build your light units. This is the way you keep your heart open. This is the way you activate your DNA. But just don't mistake foolishness and wearing your heart on your sleeve and being a sucker for real expressions of gratitude. Because every time there's a genuine expression of gratitude, there's a little change in the universe, and there's a little change in you, and there's a little change in your DNA, and you are on your evolutionary path. And no matter how hard things are, no matter how angry you feel or grumpy you feel or discouraged you feel, don't watch for these opportunities, because these opportunities, when you take them, will be like your stairway to deliverance. And on that note, we have today all these people that are on our healing list. And, of course, we are working as a group energy, and we send our group energy to those people, and they have to receive it. Nothing happens unless they receive it. Ultimately, people are... you're not alone. You're part of us. We're part of you. But you have to open up to the connection for the healing energy to come through. Oftentimes, if you're sending the light to a third party for healing, you have to be sure that your energy is radiating to that person. How do you know if your energy is radiating? Take a moment and shut your eyes. And let's think of somebody that's beloved to you. And send them light. And when you do that, you'll feel a little tingle come back, very slight. Now, you might try doing the same thing to somebody like Henry Kissinger. And at least for me, this kind of comes back as a thud. The energy is blocked. So you need to be able to send the light to people that you have that tingle with. That's an indication that you're doing it. So, you know what? Maybe before I do the healing list, we should do our meditation, our visualization, and then we'll come back and do this, because I think the energy will be stronger. So, put your feet flat to the earth. We see the energy coming through the center of the earth, through your floor. And into the bottom of your feet. Now, it doesn't matter if you're sitting down or laying on a bed. And the earth is alive, and she's sharing her energy with us. We all live in the energy fields of the earth. The earth is our host, but we don't know it. Most of the time. And in this moment, we're taking a moment to feel the earth. And let us send gratitude to the earth for being our host, for all the lifetimes we've spent here. For all the times we've abused her and didn't even understand what we were doing. For all the times our brothers, our human brothers, have abused her and still abuse her. We ask for her forgiveness. And we bring this energy of the earth and move it up through our body, through our legs, through our calves, through our groin, up to the top of our head. And now we're going to move through the top of our head. And we're going to focus on the spot 1 foot above our head. By the way, I was talking about DNA, and I said the first 7 strands of DNA relate to your first 7 chakras, or your chakras, your heart, up to the top of your head. And the next 5 strands, according to this book, relate to the holographic expansion outside of your body. Now, we were doing this meditation long before I read that book, and yet it exactly matched what we're doing. We are expanding ourselves into spaces above our body, outside of our body, and activating DNA strands. And of course, if you successfully activate the higher strands, add the lower strands, perhaps that's when you have what people sometimes call cosmic consciousness. So we move above our head, we move up to the ceiling. We move through the ceiling and into the sky. Or if there's any rooms above us, we move through whoever's above us and through the roof into the sky. And we're not leaving our body. We're constantly centered in our body. We're still connected to the earth. The earth is with us. And we're moving as a team, as a group, through the clouds, through the veil surrounding the earth, and we come to a place where our energies merge, touch, blend, connect. Now, in one sense, we have always been connected. But we have separated ourselves from the connection. Not because we're bad, but because in this realm, it's part and parcel of having a body in this realm, ending up separated from the higher realms. So we are connecting now. We are connecting to that energy of oneness. And we invite our sources to join in this connection. And remember, we're all one. They're one. It's only us helping each other. And now we bring the energy back down. We go in reverse. We go through the sky, through the clouds, through the top of our home or apartment, through the top of our ceiling, and into the top of our head. Some of you feel it very strongly. It's like a band of light around your forehead and your temples. And we continue to move the energy through our body. As we move through our bodies, we all have blockages. All of us. We have blockages because we've had hurts, because we've had pain, because we've modeled the energy of our parents and taken it into ourselves. Jesus said the sins of the parents are visited upon the children. A better way to say it is the energy distortions of the parents are visited upon the children. So, since we're moving back in time, we're moving back into energy formations that were prior to the creation of these energy blocks in our bodies, prior to our birth, prior to our past lives. And we're moving this new energy through our body to release everything. We're where do you feel blocked? Some people don't know because they're so used to being blocked, they think that's who they are. And it's not. Find a block and surround it with this energy. Just let it go. Let it dissolve it. Let this energy slowly move through the block and disperse it. Most of us have blocks in our heart area because we have baggage in there. What kind of baggage is in your heart? Who have you not forgiven? Who is it that owes you money? That you've been cursing for so long, that took the money from your business, emptied the bank accounts, and left you totally desperate and didn't care. They may be despicable, but you still have to forgive them. You don't want to be their friend, you may never talk to them, but you forgive them so you don't hold them in your heart. As I said in previous calls, those energies that we hold inside of ourselves are the exact energies that keep our hearts from being open and the energies that keep us from graduating this realm. We go down from our heart to our solar plexus, and from our solar plexus to our genitals, and through our root chakra, which is survival, and down through our legs, and our feet, and back into the center of the earth. And let's take a moment and feel those energies. And now we are in the group energy. We are holding the space of the connection. And this is the moment to take those things that you would like to see shift and change and hold them as thoughts in your consciousness. And those people you care about, send them the energy. Send them the love. Ask for their healing. All of this is done for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. And now I'll go through this healing list. We have Marcia putting Jim and his health company and his harassment by authorities in the light. Peter in Canoga Park. Putting his mother, his mother's eyes into the light. Has been suffering from macular degeneration. You know, there's a doctor that Terry discovered in Texas. If you want to unmute yourself, Terry, and say the name of that doctor.
Dr. Marshall, and you could go to...
No, it wasn't Dr. Marshall. It was that one who was working on eyes.
Yes.
Peter, send an email and say, what's the doctor's name, and I'll make sure you know it, okay? He has some breakthrough techniques for that. Okay. Donna in Rothsay is putting some pain in her body in the light and asking for guidance, love and light to all. Anna in Fremont, having a heart for my heart to be strong enough to comply with the doctor's procedures of removing my old pacemaker and inserting a new one. Claire, immediate freedom from astral entity attack, the evil eye. Hannah in Oakland, taking better care of myself. Suzanne in the Netherlands. Asking for inner support and help to find her path. And Suzanne, you know, we have a team shift group in Europe, which is on our website, Team Shift, one of the links. And it's a group. And anyone can do this. You can sign up in Team Shift. And Edna is like assigning people to different groups that meet every day on the phone to give support to each other. We have Joe in Redondo Beach is requesting healing light for his relationship with his, I guess it's his girlfriend, and extending that light to his counseling practice for increased financial abundance, to his clients for healing and growth, and to the awakening of humanity and the restored health of our Mother Earth. Thank you. And then we have GL in Utah. Get over the gombo. I'm not sure what that means, but okay. Colleen in Sedona, healing for Dorothy, who has cancer. Patricia in North Dartmouth, and we send light to her and healing for her joint and muscle pain. Rosemary in Honolulu, in the light for healing of her cancer. Jerry in Fort Wayne, Indiana, sending love and light healing to inflammation in his body. And Vaughn in Burbank puts his enterprise, his comedy enterprise in Hollywood, in the light. Asks for success and prosperity. And on that note, I'm going to call in the light and we will hear a message from our sources.
First, we'll do a sound check with Terry, please. It's so clear.
Jerry, you want to talk a moment?
Okay. I don't have this headset that works right now. It's acceptable, so I'm talking directly into the phone.
Yeah, well, you're very clear, so that's okay, okay? All right? So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we wait for this morning's message through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here with you. We have manifested in the atmosphere here of planet Earth. And we are delighted to be available to each and every one of you. We do not come over the telephone lines. We do not come over the radio. This is the voice that comes over that. However, we come directly, non-linearly, into the space of everyone who asks. We are free will, and so we do not come into your space unless you have asked. We see each and every one of you as lights, energy lights of a color that is of the color white and of a radiating light. We take a moment and we look at the things that you have put into the light. We see that a number of you have put others that you love and care about into the light. This is a help and a support as we can then add our energies to these situations, to the people, to add our love, add our support. The individuals then have as a choice to take advantage or to not take advantage of this, as we do not invade their free will either. We take a farther moment as we look at each and every one of your requests. We are nonlinear, and so we do not do things one at a time. We can do a multitude of things at one time, and there are many of us. We are in some of our
areas of expertise good at providing frequencies which are healing for those that request it. At times, individuals are working through growth lessons, and what is in front of them is the next lesson they can benefit by in the earth plane. Sometimes they are balancing karma, and it may not be apparent what is happening is a balancing of karma from something in the past that they have created, something that they have done, something they have not done, and then at this time, the balancing of that is coming in. If they had done something of harm to another, then the balancing can come in and they could have a similar harm to them. Sometimes it is asked, you know, why did God bring this on me? However, if they were to look into their own self and into their own motivations, they would see an impetus, a creation, a connection with the frequencies of that has come in, that they have opened themselves to bring this in to balance some karma from the past. This does not mean that the individual is a bad person to have this happen. This is a universal law, since all is one. We take a moment, and we have the ability, if an individual wishes, to simply lift that karma from them, to dissolve it, and to open the door to letting in the light of healing, the light that can dissolve disruption, dissolve disharmony. And in the opening of the door and the shedding of the light, allow the person to choose, you to choose to let that karma go and to pick up the life that brings you refreshing flows, refreshing love, refreshing abundance, to fill in the cracks that need has created, and to bring in manifestation of what is needed for you to grow healthy and strong in that area. Earth is a school, a place to grow, a place to move through situations and to learn about yourself, to learn to open yourself to accept the love and appreciation and gratitude that is there for you.
with a balanced karma. It is our gratitude to connect with each and every one of you that wishes to be connected with. It is a sacred moment in time. And we love each and every one of you more than you can possibly imagine. We leave, but we do not leave. We see an open door to step through for you who wish to step through. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for those blessings that each of us has the ability to step into. And I am very grateful myself to have the opportunity to have learned how to be a bridge to these energies into the higher dimensions. We're going to move in just a moment to our planetary healing session. And there was a book that I read in 2002, and Daphne and I were walking through a metaphysical store, I think it's called Soulscapes, in Encinitas, California. And of course, I was at the very beginning of my learning about all of the things that we are demonstrating now. Daphne was channeling, and I was saying, what's going on here? This is crazy. I was in the middle of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And when we were in that store, Daphne pulled a book off the shelf, and she said, they want you to read this. And so I bought the book, and I didn't really understand a lot of it. It was really complex, even for myself. And I would read some pages over and over again. And some of you might find this book valuable, although it's somewhat catalytic. Catalytic. What does catalytic mean? It can be upsetting because it was describing the way the universe developed in a very detailed manner. It was talking about all the ET civilizations that were impacting our planet. It was talking about many of the agendas of the negative, which were pretty upsetting to read. And I was evaluating, can this be true? Can this be true? Even though they recommended it, that's not enough for me to believe it's true. And I also had to consider, I wonder who's recommending this. Is this our positive source or is this a negative source? But I did read it. And there were certain things in the book that immediately jumped off the page because they were talking, just not, it wasn't the main emphasis, but it just showed up, about the Ra Confederation. And up to that point in all of my spiritual work, I had never, or I was just being exposed to the Ra group through the writing, the Carla Ruckert material and the David Wilcock material. And this was the first reference that I ever found to the Ra group. And she was using the term Ra Confederation. And in one of the things in the book, she talked about something called accretion levels. Never heard that word before, accretion levels. And I interpret it to mean the amount of love light that was being absorbed and received by our planet through all the inhabitants of our planet. And I have the book in front of me. Earth is, you can hear how it's written. You'll know if it's something that attracts you. In your current time continuum, you technically have one half cycle remaining within your third dimensional time cycle. Earth's morphogenetic field has pulled in only half of the frequency patterns of the third dimension. There is a direct correlation between how many frequency patterns the Earth has pulled into its morphogenetic field and the type of consciousness and biology that will appear on the Earth at that stage of evolution. We call the amount of frequency Earth has pulled into its morphogenetic field from the dimensional unified fields its accretion level. Earth is presently at a 2.5 accretion level. Earth has pulled into its morphogenetic field all of D1 and D2 frequency patterns and half of the frequency patterns of D3. Now, this is me making a comment. D1, D2 has to do with densities. Density 1, density 2, density 3, or first chakra, second chakra, third chakra. Earth would normally pass into HU2 time cycles at accretion level 2. Normally, the 3 accretion level of Earth would not be reached until 4230 AD. The life forms on a planet at the 2.5 accretion level will have a consciousness that falls near the 3.5 range. Consciousness will perceive as solid matter an external reality, the level of Earth's body that is one full dimension quadrant below the accretion level of the consciousness. Now, you probably dropped out there because I did. Well, she goes on and talks about accretion levels and that when we are doing this planetary healing level, we are working as a team, as a group, with our sources to upgrade the accretion level of love light coming into our planet, which is making new possibilities, which is creating changes in the collective energies of our planet. And of course, we're not the only ones doing this. And it's a process that is very important for the shift that's going on. Because as we are learning, this is not being done to us. We are participants. We are the ground crew. And by showing up on this call and participating in these energies, you're not just bringing into energies to yourself for your own speeded up evolution and transmutation. We are bringing energies to the earth herself and increasing the range of future possibilities. And we go back to creating our group consciousness. And in one way of looking at it, when we create a group consciousness, a group energy, when we team with our sources in doing this, we are creating our own group soul energy. We are coming together out of service to our planet, to humanity, because as a group, we are far more powerful than we are as individuals. And so we see this formation of our group energy, of our volunteering in this moment to contribute our own energy, our own connection, and bring it together with all those others of like mind. And we can include all of those that are not on this call, whose high selves may resonate with this energy and would participate consciously, if they knew. And we can create our intentions to move this energy. And so we will see through our visualization this energy of our group surrounding our planet. Like a giant cloud of energy moving through any places of obstruction, of blockages. Just as with our body, where our body has obstructions and blockages. Our planet has obstructions and blockages. Also based on karma, on the collective history of humans on this planet, all having left a track of unbalanced energy, of control patterns by the negative. And we have to honor free will. So we can't change those control patterns. We work around them. We work through them. And we can imagine all those humans on our planet who are reaching in prayer, reaching and asking, and we see them as points of light. And they join with our points of light. Their intents are the same as ours. They are asking. And we take this huge cloud and we surround all of those people that are confused, all of those people who are perplexed. Many of them have potentials for higher connections. Many of them are wanderers, are starseeds that have gotten lost in this realm. we surround them with this energy and this care and this loving. Because they are seeds. Why are they called star seeds? They're seeds that have not grown yet. And they only need the slightest bit of water or love light to start growing. Just as many of you have grown as a result of coming into our calls and have transformed yourself or are in the process of transforming yourself. So we send our care and love to all of those beings in that process. And we send it to all those beings who might be called negative or service to self, to give them other opportunities of choices, of compassion, rather than control. And that they have the opportunity to feel the potential of love light coming in from the higher realms. And respond to that. As opposed to feeling empty and needing that they have to constantly amass energy from those beings under them. We send this light to the economic structure and flow of our planet. That however this unfolds in the future, there's a huge amount of compassion for those people at the bottom end of economic ladders. We send it to ourselves. Many of us are struggling so that we have the lubrication, synchronicities to bring us into the connection with those that are supportive. Many people are saying that the structures are falling apart. We can see that. This has been said for a long time. It started out with the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, saying the structures would be falling apart. That means those of us that have jobs that are depending on the bigger structures may find ourselves not having those jobs. And this is the time to think about what would you do? It's important to create income streams that are based in the grassroots of helping others in your sphere directly. And not depending on income streams that are coming from large corporations, government, etc., etc. I hope these things endure. But all the predictions are that they're breaking down. And it's better to be forewarned and think about it than wait until you're desperate. And let's move to the earthquake zones. It's been said, and it's happening, that as part of this shift, the Earth has to release various geophysical events, i.e. earthquakes, And, of course, in the last few years, we've had a lot of earthquakes. Apparently, there's a certain amount of choice the Earth can make in this release, and that these energy flows that we create impact the Earth's choices. The balance of energy that happens at a given area. Some of you have read stories of a fire that went through somewhere and a bunch of homes burned down and a house where people were praying was spared, where it shouldn't have been. This is the kind of action we are looking for. As you become friends with the Earth, then the Earth becomes friends with you, and I believe would probably go out of her way to be compassionate with those she has befriended. So we see the Ring of Fire, the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean, and we start at the southern tip of South America, and we just move our cloud above the coast. We see energy penetrating through the crust of the Earth into those areas where fault lines are, and even beyond into the Earth where she needs to feel our love. And we go up through South America, Argentina, Chile, and Central America. We can just visualize a map. The west coast of Central America, the west coast of Mexico, the west coast of Baja California, into California, the west coast of California, San Diego, Carlsbad, Oceanside, into Orange County, Irvine, Long Beach, Los Angeles, and all the environs of Los Angeles, all the suburbs, all those areas where there are major earthquake faults. We just see penetrating deep through the Earth into those fault lines and into the center of the Earth. We go to the coastline to San Francisco, to all the environs around San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, Concord, Sausalito, Mill Valley, up the coast of California, Mendocino, and into Oregon. And we move up the coast of Oregon through Eugene, through Portland, and we extend over to Mount Hood for the modification of any potential volcanic activity, the diminution of that, elimination. We go into Washington State, through to Seattle, and then to Canada, Vancouver, and up the coast of Canada through the Yukon, across to Alaska, the southern coast of Alaska, and across the Bering Straits to Russia, down the eastern coast of Russia to Siberia and China, eastern coast of China, Singapore and Hong Kong and Japan. We take a moment and ask to cap the energies of the radioactivity at Fukushima. And down the eastern coast of Japan to Philippines, or any other countries I'm missing, and Australia, New Zealand. We're running out of time, so we're just going to quickly just do a quick focus on the Mid-Atlantic Fault, the New Madrid Fault in the center of the country, the transmutation of toxic materials in chemtrails, the relationship of the Earth to the Sun. And we go back to each of ourselves and realize, for as much as we can hold the energy, we are holding the energy and the space for our local area. We're helping to do that. And it doesn't take anyone else's agreement. It just takes holding that intention, taking moments when you're out and about and say, okay, I'm anchoring the light here. You can do it. You have the power to do it. If not you, then who? This is how our planet evolves. And you are important in that process. That note, it's 12:57, and BBS needs their line back at 1 or 12 Pacific. We're on Arizona time here. So just thanking everybody for showing up today and participating.